A call for a change of leadership at Facebook. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The NAACP is calling for a boycott of Facebook today, among the organizations also calling for a change of leadership there. It's in response to a congressional report that says Russia used Facebook and other social media platforms to target African Americans, with the end of discouraging people from voting in the last presidential election. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
A big yellow box dominates the NAACP's homepage today. It says, "Log out Facebook on Tuesday, December 18th. The group says it's calling for the boycott because it's concerned about, quote, the data breaches and privacy mishaps of recent years. Other organizations, including MoveOn.org and the Southern Poverty Law Center, have signed a letter asking that Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg step down as chairman of the board and calling for Chief Operating Officer Sheryl Sandberg to leave the Facebook board entirely. And the Congressional Black Caucus fired a warning tweet to Facebook saying, quote, if they can't stop the weaponization of their platforms, then Congress will.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington there. Facebook stock fell 2.7% yesterday. Twitter stock fell nearly 7% amid concerns about political manipulation and an unrelated admission that it's investigating signs hackers may have used Twitter to steal personal data. Let's do the numbers. Yesterday, the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ all finished down more than 2%, minus 507 points for the Dow. It's the 18th year, and for the month so far, the S&P is down, I just did the math, 8.4%. The S&P is down 5.5% year-to-date amid the trade war, rising interest rates, and despite the big tax overhaul. This morning, stock index futures in the U.S. are pointing to a higher opening on Wall Street, with Dow and S&P futures each up 0.4% at the moment. Many moved into bonds yesterday with the benchmark 10-year interest rate down to 2.82%. The FTSE in London is down 0.5% now. The Federal Reserve's two-day meeting ends tomorrow, probably with a hike in interest rates, and hints about the year ahead. The economics of shelter now. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development has just released its 2018 report on homelessness. Despite very low unemployment and greater efforts by cities to offer shelter, the number of people without a place to live continued to climb this year. Marketplace's Erica Barris reports.
Nationwide, the gain was slight, just 0.3% over last year. But any gain is significant, says Heidi Schulteis with the Center for American Progress.
A rise in homelessness really shows us who the economy is working for and who it's not working for.
Who it's not working for? Lower wage workers in high rent cities like New York and Seattle, which both saw increases. Nan Roman is with the National Alliance to End Homelessness. She says not being able to afford housing has two dimensions.
One is the rent side and one is the income side. So sometimes those go together. That is places where people's incomes are lower. The housing is also less expensive. Sometimes the matchup doesn't work so well.
The HUD report found that in 31 states and the District of Columbia, the homeless population declined. Roman says more people are being moved into housing than ever before, but the demand is greater too. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
We also talked today about economic insecurity, despite what appears in the headlines as very low joblessness. Some of this may have to do with an ongoing drop in what's called labor force participation, people who stopped looking for jobs, especially women in America. That's not happening in Canada, and experts argue this is because U.S. policies often don't support women in the workforce at the same levels as, say, Canada. Check out the Marketplace podcast feed, the Morning Report one, if you miss our discussion on the air. Numbers alone don't tell the whole story. That's why Marketplace tells the stories behind the numbers, stories of real people, of businesses both big and small, and of the impact the economy has on each of us. Because you appreciate this kind of public service journalism, we're asking you to give something back. Donate today at Marketplace.org, and your gift will go twice as far, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Cannabis is now legal for recreational use in the state of Michigan, the only state in the Midwest to go there so far. Michigan has a lot of crossings to and from Canada. And as Quinn Kleinfelter reports from WDET in Detroit, U.S. border guards are being super strict with people who declare cannabis industry connections.
What is your citizenship?
My citizenship. The U.S. Transportation Department says more than a quarter of all the trade between the U.S. and Canada crosses here. through the Detroit-Windsor Tunnel and the nearby Ambassador Bridge. But Customs Officer Agron Martini says some travelers may not make it through if there's even a whiff that their trip involves marijuana.
Anytime somebody plans on entering the United States to involve themselves in the distribution, proliferation, possession of any form of marijuana, that could lead to them being found inadmissible.
Even traveling just to discuss doing business with the U.S. pot industry can be considered illegal drug trafficking. About a month ago, Canadian cannabis consultant Rod Elliott says he and roughly two dozen others were detained before they could board a flight to a marijuana business conference in Las Vegas.
We were able to get through the next morning. There were people who were traveling to that conference who told the border agents that they were investors in the U.S. cannabis industry, and those people were given a lifetime ban.
So Elliott says he and some of his colleagues will simply avoid taking business trips to the U.S.
I have been told by people in the industry that I will not travel to the United States if there is even the mere possibility that I will face a lifetime ban because I work in the legal Canadian cannabis industry.
Michigan's budding cannabis market next door to Canada is drawing significant investment interest, but Detroit medical marijuana dispensary owner Stuart Carter says the numerous investors knocking at his door are all based in the U.S. Still, with marijuana criminalized under U.S. federal law, Carter says he takes no chances at a customs toll booth.
I don't even take my business card because I'm not interested in being scrutinized by the Border Patrol.
With Michigan's cannabis industry still flowering, those involved in it don't want to burn any future bridges, especially those that cross the border. In Detroit, I'm Quinn Kleinfelter for Marketplace.
And there's news today of a new round of government help for farmers hit by the trade war. It's $4.9 billion to growers of some commodities, especially soybean growers. Some ag groups say it's not enough to compensate for what's been lost in China business. The Trump administration calls this the second and final set of payments to farmers. Our producers are Victoria Craig, Michael Lipkin, Janaki Mehta, Daniel Shin, and Sasha Woodruff. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.